Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Welcome back to another episode of Sterling Municipal Library's podcast, where we talk to you about the books we'd like to recommend.
And Sam is joining us today to talk about a book that is historical fiction, is that right? Or it's fiction, but it's set in Galveston?
Yeah, it's fiction. It's set kind of in the 80s, so I guess by now it's like 40 years ago.
It's historical fiction.
No, don't say that.
It is now officially historical.
It's vintage.
Historical fiction. Yes.
That's scary. Okay. Well, tell us about it. How did you find the book?
This one actually was a patron recommendation. One of our patrons comes in all the time. And I think I'd mentioned in the past that I was from, or maybe when they brought the book back, I was like, oh man, I grew up around Galveston. He's like, oh, you should read it. You know, it's great. Like, it's stuff, there's some landmarks to it and whatnot that
you'll recognize.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we went in and I picked it up and then I returned it because I got a stack of books and then I took it home when we shut down and brought it back.
Yep.
And then finally, I was like, okay, I'm reading again. It's happening. We're doing it for real this time.
Traveled around with you a little bit before you actually got a chance.
If any of you guys are wondering what librarians actually do with their books, there you have it.
Yeah, we put them on our shelf and then we returned them 3 weeks later.
I was like, I was totally going to read this. But then when I did, like, it was easy to get into. Like, I think I went through this in like 3 days.
Okay. It does look like a shorter fiction slash...
too.
And you said it was mystery?
It's like, yeah, considered noir mystery. Like, it's very much like the nothing good happens. It's where the noir comes in. Everything, every backstory, like every time someone comes in, you're like, oh man, I wonder if this worst thing possible is what's going to end up happening. You're like, okay, yeah, everything's terrible. So, you know, it's good. You have your grizzled main character who just like, everything bad happens to me. So it works out, you know, but it was an enjoyable read. Like, I really enjoyed it. I had no idea who the author was. So I was just like, okay, cool, read through. Then when I went on to Goodreads to mark my book as read, I saw that he is the writer, the only writer and creator of True Detective.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So he wrote this.
So if you like True Detective, maybe check out this book.
Yeah, so that was a thing. I looked through. We only had a single copy, and I was kind of shocked by the fact that, I guess it went in heavier rotation. Because, I mean, yeah, True Detective was a huge show.
Yeah, and I don't think we've said the author's name.
Oh, yeah, his name is Nick Pizzolatto.
Okay.
Or it could be pronounced totally different.
Pizzolatto.
Right.
Pizzolatto.
So
no one knows.
I'm trying to sound it out as phonetically as possible, but you know, you never know. I'm bad about saying names, and then patrons are like, no, it's pronounced this way.
That's not how it's pronounced.
Like, oh, you know, Lisa Scottoline or whatever. It's like Scottolini. Like, oh, sorry.
Oh, that makes sense.
That makes sounds way better what I said.
So for this book, it's not, I don't want to burst anyone's bubble out there in the audience. It's not super often that librarians will take patron recommendations, only because, you know, everyone has what they like to read. Do you feel like the person was correct when they recommended to you and they were like, it's great, it's a great book?
Yeah, I mean, without knowing, because, you know, it seems like if you go through any of the books I've done here, like, none of them are, like, happy books.
No, you seem to trend towards depressing
apocalyptic.
Yeah, which is, you know, which right now is exactly what we need more of in our lives. But, you know, it ended up being really good, and he was pretty dead on. And I've seen the stuff he checks out. He checks out a lot of good books. And so when he recommended it, I was like, oh, cool. I think it was more of a geographic thing than reader taste, but... I'm bad when I get a book that, like, that was good. Now I'm going to read everything this author's ever done. And then I don't really branch out much until I'm finished with all of them.
So, Linkvist?
Yeah. That. And then I've been going through, like, I've been trying to read The Glass Hotel because Station 11, which is... Station 11's really good, y'all.
The Glass Hotel, not as much, right?
I'll leave it at that.
Yes, that is the end of my statement.
but yeah, so it worked out really good. And that's what I've been trying to do. You know, probably the next book I talk about will be a... recommendation from a patron as well. So I've been trying to listen to patrons that are, you know, more than like, man, this new Grisham book or whatever.
Love this James Patterson.
Yeah, the new Patterson's where it's at. It's like, cool, thanks.
And it's very possible that there's a James Patterson book out there that's quality that I would like. It's just, you know, it feels like the cards are stacked against me in that one. I'm way more likely to get one that I won't like.
I know, I'm totally like the hipster, you know, music snob when it comes like,
oh yeah, you listen Patterson. To that mainstream.
So tell us a little bit about this book. Does it follow a detective, a private investigator? Like, who is the main character?
It follows, again, something that I always like the story of. Like, almost like a mob enforcer type. Like,
he
works in New Orleans. You know, he's like a kid who went to school and then was like, it wasn't for him. Like, poor kid, grew up like an orphan and stuff. And then was just like, went back to this place. He has his later life. He was an orphan. So he went back to this guy that his mom had talked about before she had disappeared under mysterious circumstances. And it turns out that, you know, he was into the crime stuff and used them. So he spent his life killing people and all this and doing all this, you know, shady stuff, which is perfectly par for the course for any good noir book. You can't have, you know, really good people as your main character.
Oh, no. Like, usually, even if they are on the quote-unquote good side, they're like an alcoholic private investigator.
Yeah.
He's like, I really walk the line.
So we got basically mob enforcer that's alcoholic and just found out he's going to die of cancer.
Oh, yeah. So he's got very few things.
Starting
to
sound like a country song right off
make good. Does his dog run away?
Which is even better because his nickname is Big Country. People make fun of him.
Big Country!
Because he's from the southeast Texas, like Gulf Coast area.
Yep.
Like, but it starts out like his happiest memory was like the one person he truly loved. And they'd went on this trip to Galveston. They stayed there for like 2 weeks and it was amazing. So
did they stay at the Hotel Galvez?
They did not. Oh. They stayed in some, you know, when you're kind of, I think they had a cabin, him and the person he loved. And then when he went down there, is like hiding out from your mob boss who may or may not tried to have you killed. You know, I don't want to give up too much of the plot, even though it happens in like the second chapter. But, you know, you're hiding out, you're laying low, which is, as growing up around Galveston, there's plenty of shady beach hotels,
shady places, yeah.
Or no, take that back, motels that you can stay at that are on the cheap. Like, you got cash, we got a room. Mm-hmm. So it was cool. So it followed that. You know, there was some time spent on the strand, on the seawall, things like that. So it was pretty cool. And, I mean, the story itself was, you know, it was interesting. I stayed up way too late a couple times. I think I dragged
That's
it on
always
Saturday,
a good recommendation.
Like,
yeah.
Were there any other places that you recognized that were mentioned in the book?
Well, yeah, because they went through New Orleans and they basically went down when they ran to the thing, because he picks up, turned the thing that may or may not have happened. He may or may not have met like a young girl who was into historical occupations and took her with him when he ran because she happened to survive as well. And so, you know, they stopped by in like Orange and they went to like, hey, we're stopping in Baton Rouge, and they talk about this, and then basically all the places down like Lake Charles, things like that.
They hit all the I-10 spots.
Yes.
Yeah. So then they did that and they ran out. A lot of it seemed, even though the guy's from the area, the only complaint I have is like, oh, I went from Galveston out to like San Marcos to go to this thing. And it's like,
that's a long drive.
Like, yeah, that's a pretty substantial drive to go like here. Like, I went to San Marcos and then back.
Later
that evening I returned and I was like, man, like 10 hours of driving from Galveston, but right on.
And you said he's from the area?
Yeah, I read the thing. I think he's from like the New Orleans and Gulf Coast area.
Okay. So I mean, it may just be that the Texas-related geography did not come as well to him, because it's a big difference, Louisiana and Texas.
You know, it's still, everything's far away.
It is, but if someone had asked me, is Galveston close to San Marcos, and just showed me a picture of the coast, I'd be like, yeah, sure, it looks close.
It's right there.
Because I'm not from Texas, where everything's 12 hours away.
Yes.
There's actually, LaPorte, there's a point where, you know.
Oh!
Any mentions of Baytown?
A body gets dumped in LaPorte. No, he didn't.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, considering
Baytown
the novel,
too
maybe
much
it's
going
better.
On. LaPorte had some open marshland that was perfect for.
Oh, bodies. Yeah.
Fair.
We were too settled in the 80s.
We were, you know, yeah. Baytown was too happening with ExxonMobil for good body dumping location. So, you know. That's mark one for LaPorte.
So this seems like a good novel for people who like kind of like darker mysteries, but also who just like to like see things that they notice that they have been growing up around, like legend and novels.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool to talk about that. I mean, everything happens in the story kind of around this, basically between New Orleans and here. With and even the San Marcos thing, he talks about doing it. Like, I got up early, went to San Marcos and came back. It wasn't like, and there I was in San Marcos. It was just like, oh, I did that this morning and they thought I'd ran away. And it was like, no.
It's like the equivalent of watching a movie and being like, I've been there. I've been there.
Yeah.
I know what that is.
And it's cool because it ends with the, was it Hurricane Ike? I think that's where it ends.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, it goes from the 80s, and when it ends, it's kind of like Hurricane Ike's coming. So it kind of adds that bit of, you know, again, I'm not going to lay it out, but it's a noir novel. You kind of know where it ends up. And so, you know.
That's a long time span, though.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of goes from, it's one of those books that's like 20 years later.
Oh, okay.
Now I'm an this old is, man. And
yeah.
This is happening. And
this is what happened.
Stern hurricane. No.
Yeah. Hurricane's coming. You know, all this.
People of all ages will know that thought. This Stern hurricane.
Let me think back to my past.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Does it jump back and forth between the time periods, or does it just kind of end 20 years later?
No, it goes back and forth. Like, there's little points. It has little, it's set up like different books.
Okay.
So this part has this, and it's like part two. And then you go to part two, and it's like 20 years in the future. And then it's like back part three, and it goes back to the story. So it's very much like, you know, I mean, I grew up reading like Frank Miller comics and stuff like that. So it's kind of along those lines.
Okay.
And I've read other people like, what's it, like Frank Bill and stuff like that, who do all these really, and they kind of have that jump around seedier side of life stories. So yeah, it was a really enjoyable book. I didn't get too much into the, you know, the plot of it, but it's a good, you know, it pretty much is just a story of someone's life as it happens. I mean, it's, there's no great under, you know,
No big metaphor, no.
It's like, this happened.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, it sounds like a good historical fiction novel. That's what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Were there any moments that just really felt like, oh my gosh, that's so 80s?
Kind of going through the stuff that was funny was going through, like, bank stuff, like, as they're trying to get money and do things like this.
Oh,
like dude, yes. Like,
life before
about,
all of the easy electronic transfers.
Yeah, where everything's called, like, I had to go and bring my, do all, set all this stuff up. And, you know, it's, I think it lends itself to a lot of these old mysteries and things, because it's like, now you can really go out easily and get, like, fake IDs, fake passports. I mean, it happens, but it's not like, you know, I knew the guy on the island that made, you know, fake passports, and I got one. You know, it's like, back then it was just like, we have, like, a Xerox copier, and, you know, it's like dot matrix on some special paper. Where now it's like, you know, we have this special dye that only goes through, like, three layers of the paper, and it'll only shine through this. So it's, like, a lot harder to do that now. Where there, it's just like, you know, I mean,
he used a Xerox copier to get you a,
it's a watercolor.
I mean, even when you used to get your license, like, you could see it was, like, stuff typed on it. Like, my first license looked like stuff had been typed, and it was just, like, you know, put through a laminator, and it was like, there. It's like your picture we took, like, the one you get for your passport from Walgreens. Like, you tell, like, cut it down. There's, like, jagged. Like, there you go. Like, that's your state ID. It's like, that's not even a great cut line.
They didn't cut through the laminate right.
Yeah. Then we start getting to the ones where it's all like, this thing's shiny. If you turn it this way, you see a star. And if you keep going, it's like a unicorn or whatever.
Does it feel a little timeless? I find that noir novels, even if they're not set in the 40s or 50s, kind of give that very, like, 40s, 50s noir feel. Or is it pretty firmly, like, modern?
No, I mean, it's, I guess some of the stuff they talk about, like, but they don't bring up the dates a lot.
Yeah, they're not outside, like, today of, was August 1983.
Yeah, like, outside of the whole Ike angle and stuff like that. But really, there are points where it took you a while till he mentioned what year it was, where you're like, oh, this is happening.
Yeah.
It's kind of odd he's listening to that radio station, or not radio, but, like, that album. But again, you know, there are people now who listen to old country that are in their early 20s, so it's like, oh, it's not that strange. Like, I put in my Billy Joe Shaver tape and all this, and you're like, oh, man, you know, that could be any point from, like, the 70s on up.
Yeah.
So it was kind of cool for that. And you mentioned his old truck. There are people driving
as you, like, slowly, like, figure out what date it is.
Yeah. So he kind of lays it out. Like, you know, I got this truck 3 years by 87, or, like, 84 Ford I got 3 years ago. But even that, I mean, there's people driving around old 84.
Yeah, I was about
Ford,
to say that they could be, that could be the late 90s.
So, I mean, it doesn't, it could fit anywhere. The only things that I think the time period lended itself to was the fact that it was easier to come by a lot of the stuff and do some of the bank transactions and stuff like that, a little more withdrawn.
You didn't really have cell phones or anything either.
Right,
so.
Yeah.
You know, I gotta find a pay phone and call this person.
Easier to get lost, maybe.
Yeah.
On purpose.
So that's the one thing that stood out as, you know, a different time period.
Okay.
But also makes sense, like, say, True Detective was set in Louisiana, so, you know, you can tell that was his stomping ground. And but yeah, so he pretty much just went from this book to doing that show.
Wow.
I know, it was pretty impressive, but that's why I think it would reach out to more people and people be interested. It's like, oh, I love that show.
Yeah. I think the location
is a big thing.
Yeah. It's going to be very appealing to our readers.
So. Is there anything else that you want to mention that stood out to you in the novel?
One
or
thing
interesting?
Worth bringing up, I guess, that it is violent if you have an aversion to violence. But if you, you know, if by some chance you don't know what, like, noir mysteries are, they are very violent.
Yes.
They're very dark.
Not just dark and depressing, but also dark, depressing, and violent.
Even the people that survive or are your, you know, hero of the story or something, your protagonist, they usually
have done bad things.
And have had very violent things done to them. And normally very well described, these violent things. So you may want to avoid, if you have an aversion to that, or you're just not mentally feeling that at this point in history.
That's fair.
Just beware that it is, there's a lot of violence.
Can you tell us about any of the other characters in the story?
Yeah, the other main two characters, like I said, there's the girl, the guy's name's Roy Cady, Cat. Katie, however you want to say it. It's 1D, so I'm going to go Katie.
Okay.
It makes it sound different than, you know, Katie would have 2Ds, like the one who carries golf.
Yes, like golf caddy.
And then he meets the girl, Raquel, but she goes by Rocky, so that's why I don't really know. 99% of the time, she's Rocky, and then, like, twice, a parent, somebody's like,
oh, is she the one who is, he brings with her?
Yeah,
he brings
with she's him? The one who, you know, is employed in historical.
Okay.
She's a great character, again, you know, young but hard-edged, like, you know, nothing's been given to her, just as tough and can give it back like he does, and that's why he keeps her around, because he's always like, I'm gonna bail, and that's, well, you know, I'll come back.
She's kind of mean to just bail.
No, it was cool. So then she's great. And then along the way, they pick up her little sister when they stop in Orange, which is where she's from. So, you know, they go through a lot of that. So it's cool. And then most of the story takes place in a hotel that's in Galveston.
Okay.
And they have, so her and her sister have their room, and he has his room, and it's kind of the hijinks around, like, a scumbag hotel.
The hijinks?
Yeah, there's some stuff where you're like, wow, okay, there's a lot of stuff growing up around, like, you know, those, like,
that area.
Beach folks that you're just like, yeah, man, I remember dudes like that. Like, I remember being at the beach, and, like, a dude just like that would roll up, like, what are y'all doing? Hey, man, you ever act score some drugs? And it's just like, we're just, like, standing here with surfboards, man. Like, what's up?
Don't you love when they advertised really well in the 80s?
Right? So I was just like, yeah, man, that's, like, I knew that dude.
Yeah.
He would be staying at a hotel
just like this.
That's funny.
So, yeah, so it was really good. And like I said, I should enjoy it. So it deals with the character. You get to know the people staying at the hotel. Cause, you know, a lot of it's transients and a lot of it's people who would live at a, like, $50 a week hotel in 1989.
People trying to hide from mob bosses.
Right, exactly, you know. So a place where you're looking for a place you wouldn't be bothered. No one would really care.
Yeah.
Like, you'd hang out and no
they one just assume everyone is equally in trouble with
right,
somebody.
Like, you don't want their story because you don't want them to ask you for yours.
Yep.
You know, like, I should keep my life to myself. Here's, like, a Miller High Life, buddy. Let's just talk. But let's not talk about the past. Like, let's talk about look, there's a seagull over there. Like,
right.
Yeah, that's great.
All right. Well, thank you so much for bringing to us a patron recommendation that I think might be a hidden gem in our collection.
Yeah, because like I said, I had no idea.
That's not one I've heard of before, but yeah.
Exactly. That's why I say even on like Goodreads, it didn't have a lot of heavy reviews and things. And someone was like, dude, I got this because of True Detective. And
it's very strange that... Did that come after True Detective or before?
No, it came before.
Okay, because I was about to say, it's very strange that they didn't like reprint it and like put on like from the maker of True Detective.
Yeah, I know. There's nothing in this. Well, we must have bought this before.
Before it came out, yeah.
There is nothing in this that says anything. It's just, this is his first novel.
I mean, even the cover kind of just looks like the flat, straight portion of I-10 that's, like, really boring.
Oh, the part where you're just like, huh, this is terrible.
See, for me, it looks like I grew up, like, in Bolivar Peninsula, and it looks like 87 when you're coming in with the power lines and, like, the beach cabins off in the distance and the lights. So, for me, it's, like, it's a very real to the area. It's how the west end of Galveston used to look, too. It's got a little more... populated in recent years, but the west end of Galveston, when you left the seawall, was just like, oh, there's nothing. A few beach cabins here and there, but it was just like you were out in the boonies again. So yeah, I think they captured 1980s, early 90s Galveston perfectly on the cover.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us, and stay tuned next week for more fantastic book recommendations.
Bye.